This morning I want to talk about impossible situations, because we all face them, don't we? In our own personal journeys, in our walk with God, we face situations that just look impossible. Or maybe we hear people talk about God, and we hear what God does in other people's lives, and we think, well, that's all good for you, but it's not possible for me. Has that ever happened to you? Have you doubted that God wants to do something in your life? I want to tell you this morning, God works in impossible situations. He's a pro at it. In fact, I think he prefers them. And as we come to Christmas, this is the prime time to be thinking about it, because we see two impossible births. And I want to talk about not one birth, but two births that happened. Because the story of Christmas wasn't just about Jesus, but John the Baptist was a part of this whole thing. And you can read it. We're going to look in Luke chapter 1. And Luke starts his story with the story of John the Baptist. And so he tells the story of what happened and how the angel Gabriel came to Elizabeth and Zacharias. And I just want to read in verse 7, Luke 1 verse 7. And he's just introducing Zacharias and Elizabeth. He says, "But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." And so we see a story of two elderly people, one of whom was barren her whole life. Elizabeth had no other children. And even if she could have had children, now she was too old anyhow. And this is the situation that God speaks into. He speaks into an impossible situation and says, "You're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. You're going to call him John." And John was an amazing fellow. I've been studying John quite a bit. And I love the guy. I feel there's a bit of a kindred spirit there, because he lived out the bush. He ate wild stuff from the bush. And I'm like, yeah, that's my man. That's my guy. Get that locust into ya. Some wild honey. And so John was an interesting guy. But Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have a child. And God comes and says, "You're going to have a child." And see, so often God will bring us to a situation that seems impossible. And he'll ask us to believe. He'll ask us to have faith in a situation that in the natural way isn't possible. And so this is what happened with Elizabeth. And then you go over to Luke, to verse 26, and he's talking about Mary. And I just want to read a bit of this story from Luke 1 and verse 26. And he says, "In the sixth month," that's referring to Elizabeth's pregnancy, "the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Now make no mistake, she was a virgin. It's impossible for a virgin to have a child. We know this. It's basic, isn't it? Biology. And God speaks to this young girl. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So we see two women and two impossible situations, two impossible births. And God's in his element. And I love what the angel Gabriel said. With God, nothing will be impossible. He doesn't even bring man into it. He doesn't say, in other places the scripture says, if you believe. In this place he just says, with God, nothing will be impossible. Saying it's God who does it. It's God's work. Now, if that wasn't bad enough that there were impossible births promised, they also face impossible circumstances. And we don't need to read it all, but if you stay in Luke there in verse 80 of the same chapter, I just want to pick out this one verse. It's talking about John, and it says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Now, when I read that, I was like, what? He was in the deserts? It doesn't say he was in the deserts. He wasn't eating some cake. He was in the sandy desert. And I'm sort of thinking, it's talking about from his childhood he was in the desert. Now, to me that's a bit strange. Because kids don't grow up in deserts usually. Like, what were his parents thinking? Was he neglected or what? Should we call docs? Because this guy's in the desert. And it's a strange situation for a child that has such promise on him. And with all of this that's been prophesied over him, he grows up in the desert. And it just, to me, that seems like, why would you be in such hard circumstances? We don't really know any more than that. Now, in the case of Jesus, it's even worse. Because Herod, it looks like a couple of years, when Jesus is a couple of years old, Herod finds out through the wise men about this king who was born. And Herod seeks to kill him for most of his early childhood. We don't know exactly how long, but it was a number of years that Jesus and his family had to flee when he was only a young child. And they were refugees in Egypt. And so you've got two people with impossible births, impossible situations, impossible circumstances. Like if you have a king hunting you, you're in trouble. And that's what Herod was doing. He would have had resources at his disposal. Herod killed his own son because he feared that his son would try and take his place. This is the kind of man that was trying to kill Jesus. So it's, you know, to put it in context, this is a crazy situation. And it'd be interesting to know more. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew talks about it a bit. We won't go there now, but Matthew talks about how Herod was seeking the life of Jesus. And not only that, he slaughtered many others in an attempt to kill Jesus. So, you know, I think he would have sent spies out. He would have sent people out to try and find this king that had been born. And so it's interesting that the Christmas story is a story about impossibilities. And, you know, in our lives, like it or not, we all face impossibilities at times, don't we? We all face situations that seem like it's not going to happen, seem like it's not going to work. And there's a point in each one of our story when the future that God has for us seems like it's just not possible. Can you relate? Maybe it seems like that answer that we really need is just not going to come. For you this morning, maybe it seems like that provision that you really need, it's just not going to happen. Or maybe God has spoken something to you. And you're looking at your circumstances and you're looking at what you have available to you. And you're saying, no, it's just not possible. I want to tell you this morning, with God, nothing is impossible. Let that sink in. With God, nothing is impossible. You know, the Bible is full of stories, just like yours and mine. And Abraham is another example. I want to read from Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, and we're going to start at verse 18. It's talking about Abraham, and it says, Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. contrary to hope, contrary to what made sense, he believed. And again, it's another situation where God promised the birth of a child that just wasn't possible. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You know, what God has promised in your life, he can perform it. The things that you've heard about God, the things that you've maybe seen in someone else's life, those promises of God, he is well able to perform. Praise God. Now, I don't know if you're like me, you've probably asked at some stage, why can't God just make it easy? Surely when I become a Christian, things will go easier for me. And yet the opposite often happens, doesn't it? Why can't God make it easy? Why doesn't he? Come on, God, you can do better than this. What are you up to? You know, God often brings us into circumstances that seem far less than ideal. In fact, he brings us into stuff that's just straight up difficult, straight up hard, doesn't he? Well, I want to tell you this morning that no matter how difficult your situation might be, it's not too hard for God. It's not too difficult for him. I was thinking about Mary and Joseph, and I was thinking, you know, have you ever had someone spread a nasty rumor about you? Or say something about you that's not true? And I could tell some stories about things that have been said about our family or said about people that I know. And it's crazy where rumors come from, isn't it? Some of it's just ridiculous. But in the case of Mary and Joseph, you know, they had to believe God and persevere in their belief for quite some time before they were vindicated. You know, God gave Mary a private word about something that couldn't remain private for very long, eh? Because, I mean, just look at tone. It doesn't remain private for very long. You're going to have to say something sooner or later. And Mary had to go through this. You know, imagine the people that would have said, no. What's this virgin birth? That's just nonsense. You've been up to mischief, Mary. Of course they would have said that. And if the 9 months wasn't long enough to put up with that, she really wasn't even vindicated until Jesus' public ministry. Because Jesus didn't do much for the first 30 years. It wasn't until he was about 30 years old that he began his public ministry. And I think then many people who knew him from when he was younger, many people who knew Mary, would have started to think, oh, you know what? Maybe there was something to it all them years ago. We mocked Mary. We made fun of her. We rumored about her. We talked about her behind her back. But maybe there was something legitimate in all of this. See, Mary had to suffer these things. And same with Joseph too. It would have been dismissed. You know, sometimes we have to accept that God is going to do things in a way that we don't like. Uplifting message for you this morning. But it's true, isn't it? Sometimes God does things, and sometimes God's plan for us is different to our own. I want to ask us this morning, you know, that verse, that statement that Gabriel made, he said, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing will be impossible. But the pertinent part of that statement is the part that says, with God. With God, nothing will, you know, there are many impossible situations without God. And there's no more to that statement. That's just the end of it. It's just impossible. But with God, nothing will be impossible. And so I want to ask us this Christmas some questions, some thoughts for us to consider. Is God with you? Now, for many of us here, that's an easy one. Because you have God's Spirit in you. You feel His presence. You hear His voice. And it's so good. I love it. We're so blessed, aren't we, that we can say that. But maybe this morning, God isn't with you. Maybe this morning you haven't actually invited God to be a part of your life. Maybe you've never actually said, Jesus, I want you to come and live in me. I want you to give me your spirit. I want you to fill me. And maybe you're facing impossible circumstances. Well, I've got to tell you, it's only with God that you'll overcome. It's only with God that that impossible thing becomes possible. In Acts 2, in verse 38, Peter's preaching and he says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That word repent just simply means turn to God. Turn to Him. Look to Him. Don't look to something else. Look to God. Repent and turn to Him. And it says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard this a million times, but I'm still passionate about it. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the most amazing gift you could ever receive. And if you haven't got Him, you better ask God for Him. Because the Holy Spirit is going to make a difference in your life. He says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. See, this morning God is calling you. He's saying, receive me. Invite me into your heart. Invite me into your life. In another place, a chapter over in Acts, Peter's preaching again. He says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. See, God doesn't want to hold your sin against you. Jesus came to destroy sin. He came to get rid of it and all of its effects in your life. And then he says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's in Acts 3:19. It says, repent, turn to God. Be converted, let your sins be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Do you want that? You know, as believers, we can experience that as often as we want. As often as we spend some time with God, I get refreshed. Times of refreshing come from His presence. And so I've got to ask, is God with you? Have you received Him? And maybe you have before, but you know that you need a fresh infilling of His Spirit. It's good. It's a good thing to be hungry for. You know, sometimes we try and deserve God. Sometimes we try and want to measure up first, or we want to feel like we're good enough first. But that's not how God works. We have to come to Him humbly and simply accept His generosity towards us, because the Holy Spirit is a generous gift. That the Spirit of God, God's presence, would live in us. You can't deserve a gift. You know, tomorrow many of us are going to be opening gifts, aren't we? And contrary to what Santa Claus thinks, it's not about how good you are. It's about the love that we have for each other, isn't it? And see, Santa Claus might want us to live by a certain standard before we deserve something, but God doesn't. Not with Jesus. It's a gift. You can't deserve a gift. You can't pay for a gift. If someone tomorrow hands me a gift and I say, hang on, I'll just get my wallet out. What do I owe you? And it's no longer a gift, is it? But the Holy Spirit is a gift. And some of you have been feeling like you don't deserve His presence. Some of you have been feeling like you're not good enough for His presence. Well, I want to tell you, knock those thoughts away. It's not from God. Receive Him. Receive His presence. It's God's generosity to you. So with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, the other side of that I wanted to think of, was thinking about as I was preparing, is not only do we need to ask, is God with me? We've got to ask ourselves, are we with God? Are you with God? And there is a difference. See, God can be with us. God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But sometimes we're still doing our own thing. And God's there waiting for us to get with the program. Are you with God? Are you surrendered to His plan for you? Have you embraced His will as best you can perceive it? Have you embraced His will? You know, God has spoken to me at times things that I don't really want to do. And God's plan for me hasn't always been what I've wanted. Sometimes it is. In fact, a lot of the time it is. But there have been times when God said, I want you to go there and do this. I go, I don't really want to do that, God. But I've made up my mind. And I hope that God will give me more grace to keep surrendering to His will. To keep embracing His plan. How about you this morning? Have you drifted? Are you surrendered to Him? There's no better place to be than to be in the will of God. Allow Him to speak to you this Christmas. Hey, if the best thing that comes out of this year's Christmas and this whole period is that you reflect on that question and maybe you line your life up a bit with what God's saying to you. Maybe you line yourself up. Make some decisions this year to say, yeah, I want to be with God. I want to be with His plan. I want to be with His will. It's the best place you can be. It's an exciting place to be. It's not a burdensome thing. See, Jesus, He said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your soul. See, to plow with Jesus, see, it's a picture of farming. And when the oxen would have the yoke put on them, and they'd be pulling that yoke to plow the field, He says, come plow with me. Come work with me. Yes, there's work, and yes, you're going to have to go where I want to go. But He says, it's easy. You'll find refreshing. Because the strength comes from Him. We could talk a lot more about that picture, but this morning, I want us to reflect on that. Is God with you? You can invite Him to be with you right now. Are you with God? You can surrender yourself to Him. You know, as we come into a new year as well, I probably get more reflective on the new year time. As I think about the year that's gone and as I think about what's coming for another 12 months, what great questions to ask ourselves. I'll tell you what, if you can answer those questions, nothing will be impossible. Of all that God has for you, nothing will be impossible. If it was possible for Elizabeth, it was possible for Mary, in spite of everything that came against them, I'll tell you what, it's possible for you. So this morning, you feel free to respond how you want. If some of us might want prayer this morning, you feel free to come out and receive prayer, respond to those questions. Otherwise, just over the next few days, hey, spend some time with God. Allow Him to speak into your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that with you nothing is impossible. No situation that we face is too difficult for you, God. No promise of yours are you unable to fulfill. And this morning we just want to say, Lord, come into our hearts. Come into our lives. Send this wonderful gift of your Spirit again. Lord, I pray that we would be truly with you. Help us to surrender to your plan. Help us to embrace your will. Lord Jesus, in all of its entirety, difficult as it may be, Lord, it's not impossible with you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray a blessing on each other this morning. We pray for each other's families this morning, Lord, every family that's represented here. Those that aren't with us, Lord, we pray that this would be a time of blessing. Lord, we pray that this would be a time of overwhelming love and joy. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings upon us. Thank you for the privilege that it is to know you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Bless you.